study there this morning. I encourage you, as I do every week, to take out your Bible and to follow along to test the things I have to say, to see if they are by the Word of God. And if you find what I say to be the truth, I hope that you'll take it and put it into practice in your everyday walks of life. If you have any questions about anything I say, if you bring them back to my attention, we'll sit down with nothing but Bible in hand and discuss that question and search for Bible answers to the questions that we have. In the 13th chapter of the book of Mark, and in verse 37, Jesus makes this statement, "And what I say to you, I say to all, watch." He says, "What I say to you, I say to all, to watch." That's an important concept in our lives as Christians. We have got to watch. And this morning, what I want us to do is take some time to go through the Scriptures and look at just five things that the Bible tells us that we need to watch. The first thing that we need to watch is we need to watch our words. We need to watch the things that we say. The hardest thing for us to control is going to be our tongue. Go with me to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And look at verses 1 and 2. James chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things." Listen to this. "If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body." If we don't stumble in word, he says we're able to bridle the whole body. That means it's the hardest for us to control our tongue. And that's because there's so many sins that can be committed with the tongue. We're going to talk about some of those in just a second. What do you think about all the sins that can be committed with the tongue? There's a problem of lying. Well, I get that under control, right? I watch that. But it's not like I can take care of that, and then there's not something else. Okay, so I take care of lying. Now there's a problem of speaking out of anger, using words I shouldn't use. The tongue's the hardest to control because there's so many things that we can, so many sins that can be committed with the tongue, and so we have to watch what we say. We have to watch our tongue and watch what we say. We have to be careful. We have to think before we speak. We cannot curse our fellow man. That should be James chapter 3. James chapter 3. After making this statement about let not many of you be teachers, for we shall receive a stricter judgment, he talks about we all stumble in many things. Listen to what he says, picking up in verse 3. "Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look at ships. Although they are so large, they are driven by fierce winds. They are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring can yield both salt water and fresh." The point that's being made here is, we have our tongue, and with it we come together today, and we sing praises to God, and we praise His name, and then we may go out and curse our fellow man. We may go out and we may say evil things about our fellow man, and he's saying these things ought not to be so. You have to watch your tongue. Can a fresh water spring bring forth both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? The point that's being made there is, what we can't bless God and curse our fellow man. We have to watch what we say about our fellow man. Not only do we have to watch what we say about our fellow man, can we not curse, but we're going to give account for every idle word that we speak. Go with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And in the 36th verse, listen to what Jesus says to the Pharisees. Matthew chapter 12. And in verse 36, he says, "But I say to you that every idle word man may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment." The words we use, the idle words, the words with empty meaning that we just boast around, these things here, we're going to give an account for in the day of judgment. give an account for vain or idle babblings. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Looking in verses 16 and 18, he says, "But shun profane and vain or some translations say idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection has already passed, and they overthrow the faith of some." So don't use these vain babblings. See what else the Scripture says? It tells us to use no corrupt words. In Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 29, listen to what he says. Ephesians 4:29. "Let no corrupt communication or corrupt words proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Go over to chapter 5 and in verse 4. "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks." Just let no corrupt words, let no foolish talking or coarse jesting. Don't use words that are not fitting. The Bible even tells us no lie. Revelation 21 and in verse 8. This is probably one of the harder sins of the tongue, because at some point in life you may never use word, you may never take the name of the Lord in vain, you may never gossip or anything like that, but everybody at some point in their life, if we're honest with ourselves, has probably told a lie. Whether it's when we were little or not. Lied to our parents about what we did. Everybody's told a lie. This is probably the hardest part for us to control. But he says, "But for the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all the liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." We have to watch our words so we are not dishonest, so we're not lying. So we're not trying to deceive people with the words that we use. But instead, we have to use words fitly spoken. Proverbs 25. Proverbs chapter 25. And in verse 11, see all the sins of the tongue, the things that he says here that we can't do. All the sins that the Bible talks about with the tongue. And instead of doing those, it says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver." We have to use words fitly spoken. That's not just making sure we don't use these words that are wrong, but the idea of a fitly spoken is we have to know what we say and when we say it. Not only is there the problem with the tongue, or with the words that we use, and that sometimes we say things we shouldn't. Sometimes we say the right things at the wrong time. Sometimes we say the right things with the wrong attitude. Sometimes we're just not the person to say it. And that's the idea that we have to use words fitly spoken. I heard somebody say one time this verse, it's the right person saying the right word with the right attitude at the right time. I like that. Think about that. It's the right person saying the right words at the right time with the right attitude. That's the idea of us using words fitly spoken. But I tell you as a Christian, we're not just to use words fitly spoken. Where do you have our speech seasoned with salt? Go me to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. And in verse 6. "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." It says, "Let your speech always be with grace and seasoned with salt." That's how we're to speak. Always with grace and with our speech seasoned with salt. So we see that we have to watch our words. We have to watch what we say. There's all these sins that can be committed. But instead of doing those, we have to make sure we don't. And instead use words fitly spoken, and having speech seasoned with salt. But I tell you the second thing the Scriptures tell us we need to watch, and that is we need to watch our actions. We need to watch our actions. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 10, the Apostle Paul makes the point that we're all going to give an account for what we do. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 10, the Apostle Paul by inspiration writes, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." We give an account for the things done in the body, for the things that we do, for the actions, for these for these works. So we have to watch what we do. We can't let our actions be the work of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul writing to the church of Galatia. Galatians chapter 5, and beginning at verse 19, he says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Here's saying, here's all these works of the flesh, all these things you can do that are not good, all these things that if you do them, he says, you will not inherit the kingdom of God, those who practice such things. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred. It says, and the like. All of these things and things like them, if you do them, or if you practice them, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But instead, we need to be doing good works. In Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We all know verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest one should boast. But the very next verse, if you look at the context, he's talking there not about works. He's talking about being saved by works of the old law. And instead you look in verse 10. What does he say we are to do? For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in. So what are we to be doing? Well, for washing our actions, we're avoiding the things of Galatians chapter 5, passages like 1 Corinthians 6 and Romans 1 and Revelation 21. And instead, we're doing good works. We're trying to share the gospel. We're making sure we love as we should. Being hospitable, we're doing the things of Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul talks about the church of Rome. So we need to watch our actions to make sure we're avoiding the works of the flesh. We're avoiding doing these things and instead doing good works. But I'll tell you the one that I think is something we often overlook. Or not that we overlook, that we don't always realize the importance of, and that is we have to watch our thoughts. We always talk about watching our actions. We have to watch what we do. We watch what we do. We watch what we do. Don't do this. Don't do that. But the Bible even tells us, it goes to the point that we need to watch our thoughts. We watch the very things which we think about. We're going to give an account for what we think. In Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. The very thoughts that run through our head, we must give an account for. In Hebrews chapter 4. Beginning at verse 11, he says, "Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall after the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow. This is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." See what he's saying? It says in verse 12 that the Word of God is living and powerful. And it divides even the soul and spirit and discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. In fact, there are several sins that have to do with thoughts and not action. Now, an action may result from these thoughts, but it ultimately begins with a thought. Listen to Romans 1, 29 through 31. One of those passages with the list of sins. He says, "Being filled with all unrighteousness and sexual immorality and wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful." Listen to the ones here that are a thought. Covetousness. Now, an action may result, but where does that begin? We come where? First in our thoughts. We think. We desire what somebody else has, and it begins with a thought. that we ultimately have. Or maliciousness. Somebody that's full of envy. You see that being a fault? Can you see that being something in somebody's mind? Evil-mindedness. Just having an evil mind. Where does that begin but in the thoughts of man? Being a hater of God. Now, when somebody hates God, it will result in them not living their life as they should. It will result in them doing some of these things in Romans 1, or passage we look at in Galatians 5. But it ultimately begins with the attitude of, I don't care what he says. And if we don't care, that ultimately shows a lack of love for God. And instead, we hate God. What about somebody that's proud? Lifted up with pride, where is that? Well, we may exemplify that somewhat. But it ultimately begins with the attitude that I'm better than everybody else. I'm above everybody else. That's a thought. That's what we think about ourselves. And even look at verse 31. To be undiscerning and untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, and unmerciful. See all these? Somebody that's unmerciful. They're not willing to show mercy. That's because of their mindset. Somebody that's unforgiving and unloving, that ultimately comes back to a mindset. Sins have to do with our thoughts, not just our actions. We have to watch what we think. Not only do we watch what we think because we're going to give an account for it, not only do we watch what we think because there are sins that come up, there are sins of thought, but Jesus even knows our very thoughts. Go with me to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 and in verse 17. We don't know what somebody else is thinking unless they tell us. Jesus knows the very thoughts of man. And in verse 17 it says, but he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided falls. He, knowing their thoughts. In Mark chapter 2. Here's right after Jesus heals a paralytic in Mark chapter 2. And as he's healed him, he told him back in verse 5, he says, son, your sins are forgiven. And listen to what the very next verse says. But some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their heart. That is, they were thinking. They didn't say anything. They reasoned, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Nobody actually said this. Nobody said this. They all thought it. And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? They are wanting to say here, he speaks blasphemies against God. Who can forgive sins but God alone? They were thinking this, and it says Jesus perceived what they were thinking. When he realized they reasoned thus within themselves, like Luke said, he knew their very thoughts. He knows what we think. He knows if we're focusing on the things we ought to focus on, or if we're most focusing on the sins. So we have to bring every thought captive or bring every thought into subjection. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verses 4 and 5. He's talking about our warfare. The fact that we don't fight a physical war. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We have to bring our thoughts captive. We have to capture our thoughts and focus on what we need to. Well, what is that? What is it we need to focus on? It's these good things in Philippians chapter 4. And in verse 8. Philippians chapter 4. It's a verse we all need to have highlighted and underlined to remind ourselves of from time to time. What is it we need to think about? Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The answer to sin and thought is to meditate on the things of Philippians chapter 4. We're focusing on the good. We're indulging in the study of the Word of God. We don't have time to think about the bad. We have to bring our thoughts into captivity by focusing on the good, the noble, the just, and the trustworthy. I'll tell you a fourth thing this morning. The Bible tells us we need to watch, and that is we need to watch our company. We need to watch those that we associate with. Those we associate with will have an influence on us. Be not deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals. 1 Corinthians 15 and then verse 33. The people we associate with will influence us. And the Scripture bears that out. Amnon was. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 13. 2 Samuel chapter 13. We know the story of Absalom and his rebellion against David, but just before that, the story begins with his half-brother and his sister in 2 Samuel chapter 13. And listen to what is said in 2 Samuel chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. Now after this, it was so that Absalom, the son of David, had a lovely sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Amnon was so distressed over his sister Tamar that he became sick, for she was a virgin, and it was improper for Amnon to do anything to her. Listen to this. We know the importance of a friendship, highlight it, underline it. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimea, David's brother. Now Jonadab was a very crafty man. Friendship's a good thing. Friendship's a good thing. But in this case, it's a very sad statement because Amnon associated with the wrong people. Let's see what Jonadab tells him to do. And he said to him, that is, Jonadab said to Amnon, why are you, the king's son, becoming thinner day after day? Will you not tell me? And Amnon said to him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. So Jonadab said to him, lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. And when your father comes to see you, say to him, please let your sister Tamar come and give me food and prepare the food in my sight, that I may see it from her hand. Then Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill. And when the king came to see him, Amnon said to the king, please let Tamar, my sister, come and make a couple of cakes for me in my sight, that I may eat from her hand. Is the advice given by Jonadab. We start to see this advice carried out. If you read through the rest of the story, you'll realize that Amnon, whose thoughts may not have been where they needed to be, had the wrong association. It wasn't just a friend, it was his very cousin. Jonadab was the son of Shimea. Shimea was David's brother. Amnon was the son of David. This is his very own cousin. This is even family. He was giving him the wrong advice. He associated with the wrong people. It's a very sad statement that Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, son of Shimea, David's brother, who was a very crafty man. Let me tell you another example of somebody that was influenced by their company. That is Peter. Go to Matthew chapter 26. I think this is something we often overlook when it comes to the denial of Peter. Peter, who just hours earlier has said, when he's told that he'll deny the Lord, not me, Lord. No, these others might, but I'll go even to the cross and die with you. We all know the story of verses 70 through 75 in Matthew chapter 26, where Peter denies our Lord three times. But I want you to listen to verse 69. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard. And a servant girl came to him saying, you also will be Jesus of God. And then Peter goes on. Go back to verse 58. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard. And he went and sat with the servants to see to the end. One account even talks about the fact that he's sitting by the fire. He's by the fire of the enemies. He's by the fire of those who are taking these lawless hands, who are putting to death our Lord. He is in their midst. And when it comes time to take a stand, Peter's there and he's afraid. Do you think it had something to do with those he was around? Those he was in the midst of? See what Peter didn't do. Peter didn't watch. He'd even been exhorted to. You can go back earlier in this very same chapter, and Jesus told him and the others to watch and pray. Lest you enter into temptation, for the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He told him to watch like we're talking about this morning, to watch and pray. Instead of watching, he let his guard down. It even began with he followed at a distance. He sat with the servants. And when it came time that he's asked if he knew Jesus of Galilee, he denies it not once, not twice, but three times. As he's in the midst of the enemy. Is company important? Is who we associate with important? Do we need to watch it? Solomon thought so. In Proverbs chapter 1, Solomon gives this exhortation to his son. Proverbs chapter 1, in writing, the book of Proverbs, the wise man Solomon says this to his son. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie and wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, and hold like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our house with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us have one purse. Listen, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. Important to be associated with. Solomon thought so. In all his wisdom, he exhorts his son, do not go with sinners. In fact, if we have the wrong kind of friends, they can be a snare to our soul. Go to Proverbs 22. Specifically talked about in Proverbs 22 is the angry man. But this could be an application to any type of friend that we have that is not the friends that we need. In Proverbs 22, 24 and 25, a verse you probably know well. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. Just don't make a friendship with an angry man. You'll set a snare for your soul. You have to watch your company. Watch those you associate with. It's very important. If we let our guard down, we may associate with people like Amnon did. We may be in the midst of the people like Peter was. Let our guard down. But finally this morning, we need to watch our heart. We need to watch our heart. All issues flow from the heart. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 and in verse 23. Again, another passage you know well. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Just keep your heart with all diligence. We have to guard our heart. From it flow the springs of life. And all other problems can ultimately be dealt with if we first watch or we first guard our heart. The Scriptures bear that all out. Everything else we've talked about this morning, we've talked about watching our words and our actions and our thoughts and our company. Ultimately, if we're watching our heart, everything else will take care of itself. Matthew chapter 12 and in verse 34, we see the point that our words are controlled by what we think. Matthew chapter 12. We've already gone to Matthew 12 and talked about the fact that we'll give an account for the idle words that we speak. But going back just before that, and the verses just prior to that, verse 34, he says, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Where do we speak? It's from the abundance of the heart. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. What we say goes back to where our heart is. It's out of the abundance of the heart that we speak. Have you ever heard somebody say, think before you speak? The biblical heart has to do with the mind. And if we think before we speak, if we think about what we say, by guarding our heart, we don't listen to gossip, then we won't spread. We're less likely to spread it. We don't listen to things where people use foul language. We're less likely to say it. We're not willing to listen to lies, because if we listen to lies and we're willing to not even think about it, we just push it aside, then we're likelier to lie ourselves. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our actions are controlled by our heart. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. And in verse 9 it says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. A man's heart plans his way. The way that we will go, what we will do, ultimately comes down to this. Comes down to our heart. Comes down to our heart. When we're focusing on those things we talked about earlier, those things that are not right, instead of focusing on good things, then we're likelier to do the wrong things. It begins with a thought before there is ever an action. It begins with what we think. It begins in the heart before we ever take action. Even evil thoughts. We'll go to Proverbs 23 and then we'll go to Matthew 15. Proverbs chapter 23 and in verse 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. Matthew chapter 23. Or Matthew chapter 15, excuse me. Matthew chapter 15. And in verse 19, another occasion where Jesus is talking to the leaders of the day. And he says in verse 19, he says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murderous, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies. See all these things, he says, that take place here? They ultimately come from the heart. What's one of those listed there? But evil thoughts. Somebody says, I'm having trouble focusing on what I need to focus on. Having the thoughts we need to focus on. Sinning and fault. How do I take care of that? It comes back to guarding your heart. Think about it this way. From a physical standpoint, if we have heart trouble, what are we going to do? We're likelier to be healthy instead of eating bad things. We're likelier to exercise. Try to take care of our heart. You've probably heard the story before of the two Indians that were, or the Indian man and his little grandson that they were walking along, and he was telling his grandson that there are two wolves that fight within you. He says, there's good and there's bad. He says, well, which one, granddad, which one wins? And he says, it's the one you feed. Well, that's true from the spiritual standpoint. We can either feed the flesh. So to the flesh, we can sow to the spirit. The question is, which one are you willing to feed? Are you willing to focus? Are you willing to fill your heart with unrighteous things? Or are you willing instead to fill your heart with the Word of God, with the noble, the pure, and the just things that we talked about in Philippians chapter 4? When we focus our heart in the right place, what we think, what we do, what we say, and who we keep company with will take care of itself. In Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, and in verse 9, talking here to the Christian, these exhortations mentioned, alluded to earlier in Romans chapter 12. He says in Romans 12 and in verse 9, but love me without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Those that are serving God have got to abhor what is evil. To the point that, go to 2 Peter chapter 2, that we have the attitude that it describes of Lot when it came to sin in 2 Peter chapter 2. Beginning in verse 8, he says, for that righteous man, that's Lot he's talking about, dwelling among them, tormented his righteous soul from day to day, seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of the temptation and reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. He's making this point. Lot was tormented. Lot's soul, righteous Lot's soul, was tormented seeing the deeds that they did. And if we take care of our heart, if we have the heart that we need to, when we see people doing what is wrong, we abhor that evil. We can't stand to be around them. We can't stand to be around the people who do what is wrong. We only want to associate with those who do the will of the Lord. Only want to associate with those that cling to what is good. Therefore, watch. This I say to you, and I say to all, watch. We need to watch. What do we need to watch? We need to watch our words. Watch the things that we say. We need to watch the actions, the things that we do. The thoughts. What is it we're thinking about? Our company. Who we associate with. And ultimately, we need to focus and watch our heart. And we guard our heart with all diligence. And we'll ultimately take care of our words, our actions, our thoughts. Our company. Thank you for your attention this morning. We'll be live. And I'll be led in the closing.
Our God and our Father, we come to you this morning to give praise to you and to worship you. We thank you for this morning that you've given to us, that we could come here and learn from your word, that we can